Honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. We've been listening to an interview recorded in 2011 with then 90-year-old Medal of Honor recipient Joe Sakato, who passed away earlier this month at the age of 94. Such a humble and unassuming gentleman. As I sat in his home in the Denver, Colorado area, I read aloud the citation that accompanied his Distinguished Service Cross during World War II and would later lead to that decoration being upgraded to the Medal of Honor. Private George T. Sakato distinguished himself by extraordinary heroism in action on 29 October 1944 on Hill 617 in the vicinity of Bifontaine, France. After his platoon had virtually destroyed 2 enemy defense lines, during which he personally killed 5 enemy soldiers and captured 4, his unit was pinned down by heavy enemy fire. Disregarding the enemy fire, Private Sakato made a one-man rush that encouraged his platoon to charge and destroy the enemy strong point. While his platoon was reorganizing, he proved to be the inspiration of his squad in halting a counterattack on the left flank, during which his squad leader was killed. Taking charge of the squad, he continued his relentless tactics, using an enemy rifle and P-38 pistol to stop an organized enemy attack. During this entire action, he killed 12 and wounded 2, personally captured 4, and assisted his platoon in taking 34 prisoners. By continuously ignoring enemy fire, and by his gallant courage and fighting spirit, he turned impending defeat into victory and helped his platoon complete its mission. Private Sakato's extraordinary heroism and devotion to duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit on him, his unit, and the United States Army. And when they said that, they gave you the Congressional Medal of Honor, the highest decoration that anyone in our armed forces can receive.
That was 50 years later.
President Bill Clinton pinned it on you. You've got a picture of it right here. When they did that, and I'm sure you were proud to have received the Distinguished Service Cross, I'm sure it made you think of all your fellow soldiers who died in that process, but what did it mean to you to receive the highest honor that our government can give?
I couldn't believe I was getting the Medal of Honor. To me, I wear this medal for those that didn't come home. The first day fell from Washington, gets killed and died, just loss of blood. The other 3 guys got sniper wounds right next to me, just in arm's length. 3 of them got killed, and I wonder how was it that I'm able to come out of this alive and to be able to receive this medal. I didn't deserve this medal. I was doing what I was supposed to do, my duty, and when I wear this medal, I wear it for those that didn't make it back. And I also wear it for one German that I shot. I went on a patrol, we got down, and we heard this German giving instructions, and the machine gun opens up, and one of the fellas dang near got shot. And I saw the German that was giving the orders, and I shot him in the legs, the thighs. He went down and he saw me, then he picked up his gun, and when he picked up his gun, I shot him again, I shot him in the groin, and I took off back to our lines, and I hear you screaming and crying for help. And then when I got on top of the hill, he's still screaming, and boom, no more screaming. I wonder what happened. Next day we went over and took the hill. I checked on the fella that I shot. He was in so much pain that he took a grenade and blew himself up, committed suicide. He never went home. So I wear this for him too.
This all happens with the Medal of Honor more than 50 years after World War II. You've come home. You've had the privilege of having a family that so many of your fellow soldiers didn't get to come home and do. You worked for the post office for more than 30 years, and you're just happy in retirement. How did you find out that you're going to get the Congressional Medal of Honor?
I couldn't believe it. Guys, I thought somebody was pulling my leg. He says, no, come to Washington. What? No, really? There's only 10 in the family that come, though, because it's going to be in the Rose Garden. And I said, well, 20 of us are going to get 10. That's 200 and some people. They'll never get in the Rose Garden. So I says, well, send me my medal. I don't need to go there. no, 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 you got to come. So I finally get over there, and so happens a Saudi prince from Arabia had come to Washington, and they put up this big tent, plastic chandeliers and trees and shrubbies and air conditioned, and 500 people sitting there. So we finally got everybody in, and I'm on the stage, and Bill Clinton comes up, and he calls my name, and I get up, and I look at him. I had to look up. He's pretty tall. I got up, and he's putting this on me, and he shakes my hand, and he says, I still couldn't believe that I was getting this Medal of Honor. And I says, no, this doesn't seem right. But like I say, so I wear this not as a hero. I wear this for those who never made it back home.
And that was in 2000, but you were in Washington, D.C. again recently to receive the Congressional Gold Medal, which is something that was given to all the Nisei veterans of World War II. How meaningful was that for you to see all these other men who had not been recognized for so long, maybe whose service and sacrifice while their families were being held prisoner really wasn't fully understood? How meaningful was that for you to be there with all of them and receive that honor?
I couldn't believe we were getting this, and I said, gold medal. And I said, well, what? So we go to Washington, and 8,000 people over there, 100 and some of his veterans were there, and we each got this medal, and it's a bronze duplicate of the gold medal.
I bet you had some really memorable interactions with other Nisei veterans of World War II.
Yes. When you get together, we talk stories. we call it. Where were you when they did? Well, I was over there with the bio, with what's his name, or what's his name was over there. So it's good to be able to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so I get this duplicate bronze medal. Mm-hmm. There's four color guards in front, and the rest of the platoon is looking forward. Mm-hmm. Top is the
MIS?
MIS, Military Intelligence Service. The 100 battalions on the left and 442nd on the right-hand side. We all were received the gold medal award from Washington, D.C.
Was that some sense of closure for you to see how much it changed over 70 years since Pearl Harbor happened and President Roosevelt issued Executive Order 9066, and you and so many other Japanese Americans became enemy aliens?
Yes, this was a closure for me. This way I could feel we all received a duplicate of the gold medal. So this kind of helps relieve the thought of all the men that had died, and we were able to receive this as a closure for our battles in Europe and Pacific. It's something else to be look at, to see and hold. It kind of puts me at ease. I still have nightmares. Some days I'm in battle, but when I wake up, I'm in my room. Or I'm home. Like I say, I still have memories. I can remember every day, every battle I've been in, and I talk about it. If I had to keep it in myself, I would be in a nut house, crazy house. You don't hold it in you. If you don't talk about it, you keep it in yourself, you're going to lose your mind.
Well, I'm glad you're talking about it, and I'm curious what you think is important for the rest of us who weren't there, who didn't live through this time, who didn't see firsthand what the Gopher Broke unit, the 442nd, endured. What do you think is important for us to know going forward about what you and all those other soldiers did?
We had to prove our loyalty, that we were our Americans, and this proves that we were there, and we finally fought both battles of discrimination and the battle of Europe and the Pacific Islands. So this eases our pain that we have to suffer for so many years. 70 years ago, but I can still remember every battle. I don't know how, but I talk about it, and I want to talk to the soldiers of Iraq and Arabia, Afghanistan, to talk about it. Don't hold it into you, and talk. Otherwise, you're going to be in a sanitarium somewhere, and never get out, at least talk about it to ease your pain, and you'll feel a whole lot better once you've talked about it.
Well, you have lots of things that remind you of your time with the 442nd. You're wearing the Congressional Medal of Honor around your neck. We were looking at the Congressional Gold Medal you recently received. You have all the memories, and you have a little souvenir that the Germans gave you, too. What's that all about?
That's a little piece of shrapnel that went through my pack and went through my overcoat and it was hit my spine and ricocheted into my left lung. So now, right now it's in the area that it won't move or anything. It'll form a gristle around it. And so the upper half of my lungs, left lung, is collapsed with the shrapnel with gristles around it. So that's protected my lungs. But every time I get an x-ray of my lungs and they see this little small souvenirs in there, and I wonder, what is that? That's a German souvenir that the Germans gave me.
I'm sure you've gotten some interesting reactions from that.
X-ray technician says, "Wow, look at that thing. What's that?" They're wondering what was all the little black dots in the set in my left lung, and they wonder what the heck that was. Now they know, so I had to tell them that this was a piece of German souvenir that they gave me.
And I imagine that's one more thing that reminds you how fortunate you are and how close you came to it being you as one of the 400,000 Americans who died in World War II.
Yeah, if I didn't have the overcoat in there, it would have probably severed my spine and I wouldn't be here.
If you didn't have the overcoat, if you hadn't stolen the Tommy gun from the tank, yeah, you probably wouldn't be here, huh?
Right. That all that plays in the same area that helped me get along and come out of the war in extra pieces, but I made it back home, so it made it real nice.
What are you most proud of, and what are you most thankful for?
There's all kinds of I'm proud of. There's that I survived, and I was able to go through, and I was able to do the in battle and come out alive, and still be able to talk about it. I have a daughter who takes care of me now, and everything's real good, real nice.
Is there anything else you want to share with us about your experience in World War II?
No, about it. Otherwise, I could tell you all kinds of stories, but we'd be here all night.
Well, I just want to say thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us about it.
I'm glad I was able to talk to somebody that at least knows about it, and they in turn can tell somebody else what we had to go through, what we had to live through this, the evacuations, and have to go to battle, and then come back in the hospital and be able to get out and go back to Washington and receive the gold medal. That's fine. That's everything has been working out real nice for us, for me.
Well, and that Congressional Medal of Honor looks good on you. Keep wearing it, huh?
Like I say, for those who didn't come back, I wore it for them. So many of them didn't come back.
And he wore it proudly until his passing this month at the age of 94. You can learn more about Mr. Sakato at hometownheroesradio.com, and I also have a link for you there to the website of the Go for Broke National Education Center, which through its Hanashi Oral History Program has interviewed more than 1,500 Japanese-American veterans. We're out of time for now. I'm Paul Leffler, wishing you a happy new year and thanking you for spending another week and another year with these amazing veterans who remind us each time that freedom is not free.